Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 72nd Venice Film Festival. Very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Dito Montiel, who's presenting his film Man Down here at the festival. Thanks a lot for joining us.
I'm glad to be here, man. How you doing?
I'd like to start off this interview by asking you to tell our listeners a little bit about the story.
Oh, boy. It's a trippy world. I mean, it's just the story of somebody going through some pretty wild stuff and just through it all trying to find his son, you know, holding on to one piece that he can keep together in his head, you know?
Yeah. But there's a lot in it, of course, and even the narrative structure is quite complex and mysterious, a lot of psychological tension throughout the film. So I want to start off by asking you a very simple question. How did you get the inspiration to deal with the themes in which you deal with in the film?
Yeah, well, you know, there was an original draft written of the story, and just like anything, you try to find yourself in something that you're going to work on if you can, you know. And it was interesting, you know, I guess there was one part that stuck with me very much. My father had epilepsy, and when you'd have a seizure, a grand mal seizure, this is a weird way to put it, but, you know, you kind of have no control. And I remember when I was a kid, I was trying to help him one time, and through it all, he got just enough control to not bite my hand, because you put your fingers in, it's very weird. And that made me think a lot of this movie, that through all the horror of what the lead character, Shia's role, is going through, he still saw his son. So that was the building block for me as to, through no matter how awful things were, there was one thing that he didn't let go of. So that was an interesting way of, and then there's, of course, a crazy way to get there.
But, yeah. Actually, is that the way in which you were influenced to kind of, as far as the narrative structure is concerned?
Yeah, well, you know, it just sort of, I didn't plan to make it so, you know, originally the story did jump a little bit, you know, but then you try to make it as understandably why you're going to these worlds as you can, you know, so it doesn't feel forced too much, you know. But I enjoy jumping around in time. It's always fun when I see a film do that, and for whatever reason, my head always goes there. So it just felt like an interesting way to go about telling such a strange story, you know.
Yeah, right, and of course you deal with the delicate theme of war, and actually it kind of reminded me of a film that I really like called Jacob's Ladder, in the sense that it deals with such horrors, but also looks at the human condition. So you weren't just interested in the theme of war, you were also very much interested in what's going on inside the main character's head.
Oh, very much. I mean, that was more about, to me, it was all about that. I mean, of course, there's the horrors of a lot of things that happen, you know. And it's funny because I was supposed to rewrite Jacob's Ladder, and because they're making it, and I didn't get the job. I said, all those ideas I'm going to put in this movie. So it's funny you mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, don't waste any ideas.
Don't keep them all, you know.
Well, let's talk about the acting then. There's a great cast in it, Shia LaBeouf and Gary Oldman, two of the names that are featured in the film. How did you work with them?
Oh, you know, I worked with Shia one time before, so we have you can never have too much of a first hand with him, but I have somewhat of a first hand with him, you know, and I like to rewrite for the actors once you get to know them a little bit, you know, and try to, you know, sneak into who they are for me and try to put a little bit of them in it, and that was that's always fun for writing for me, you know, and so that was, you know, I got to know Kate Mara a little bit and Jai, Courtney, and Clifton Collins and Gary Oldman, so it's kind of a crazy dream, you know, so you're like, now it's Gary Oldman, we can have some fun here, you know, so that's kind of the deal, you know.
Yeah. Gary Oldman is an added treat in the film, he's so good, you know, but as far as Shia is concerned, you worked together in the past, so there's a good creative collaboration between the two of you.
Yeah, I enjoy, you know, you kind of never know what you're going to get with him, you know, which I enjoy, you know, it's like, I don't know if he's going to attack me or someone in the movie or something. So it's kind of like listening to Chet Baker sing. Something's going to go wrong or right. I'm not sure. So that's kind of an interesting quality he has, I think, you know.
Very interesting to note as well in this film, the importance of viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And I wondered how the viewpoint in this film affected the actual visual style of the film. If you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we shot things all on real locations, you know, which we shot in New Orleans, which has a very post-apocalyptic feel after Katrina. So, unfortunately, so you know, it was weird because, you know, you go looking around and that place, it's like full of crazy. You know, it's funny, here I took a walk down the street and I found an abandoned place way at the end, and I was like, ooh, I would have shot there if I were here.
Yeah.
But you know, we found like an amusement park in New Orleans, and at first I'm like, oh my God, an abandoned amusement park. But then I was like, well, what are they doing here? That wouldn't make any sense, although it looked beautiful, you know. But but we found these houses that were literally, they were inhabited, you know, they were real. And they had been destroyed from Katrina, and a new development of housing projects was built across the street. So it was very realistic. In it's actually, the people are really living there now, and there's still some homeless people left in that area. So we were trying to keep things as honest as we could, you know, not cheat too much, you know.
Yeah, which is actually something that I wanted to talk about, because the post-apocalyptic element is something that is kind of a little tricky to work with, in the sense that sometimes the word post-apocalyptic in cinema has become like kind of commercialized, but I think in the way you use it, it's more it's more clever, and it actually adds to the power of the film. So when did you decide to kind of play around with the post-apocalyptic feel?
Well, that was always in the story originally, even before. I was a rewrite guy. Originally, it came in, and that was there. And that excited me, because I was reading it. I was like, ooh, a post-apocalyptic. I can't believe somebody wants me to make a post-apocalyptic film. You know, I usually do very small dramas. So, and then I said, ooh, this is an interesting way to pretend we're a big movie, but we're not, you know? But I thought it was interesting, because it played on, I was just trying to keep it as honest and real as possible, and, you know, not put a plane burning in a building, you know?
Yeah.
It's very realistic, unfortunately. Life is not that far off from this, you know? So I was trying to keep things as honest as you could in a movie that deals with a, because I love Planet of the Apes too, but.
yeah. The original more than.
Oh, yeah. The Empire State, I mean, the Statue of Liberty. Yeah,
God, I love it. It's iconic. But also, you said something else that really interested me, and actually makes me think that you're the type of filmmaker that draws a lot from your own experiences too. And you, of course, you write the screenplays, and you're a writer. And you said that you were walking down the street and you saw this building, and you said, "Oh, I could have shot the film here."
Yeah.
So is that something that happens to you a lot? You get influenced when you by you can find influence wherever, like, you know, you'd be walking down the street and you see something, bang, there's an idea, you know, that pops in your head.
Oh, it's fun, you know, nothing like it, you know. I mean, that's more, I enjoy that probably more than anything, you know. You never know where ideas come from, and it's kind of the, you know, sure, I'd love if somebody gave me enough money to make a 50-day movie. I don't know what I would do with those days, but probably just hang around a lot more. But it's kind of fun sometimes, the necessities that come with a fast push, and ooh, wow, I didn't, you know. Actually, I went back to New Orleans after we filmed it, and I found another location that I liked even better. And I said, oh man, I wish I would have found this before. But that's it's part of the deal of making movies. I think it's or art, you know, whatever you do. You look for things, you know, find a cool kid on the subway, and I say, wow, this kid could be a good actor.
Really?
You know? Oh, yeah, man. You know?
Street casting, something you do.
The best, man. I give a note. I say, listen, I know I sound like a weirdo, but I'm really going to, you could have your mother call me. So, you know, it's part of the fun. I enjoy that, you know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that gives me a good segue to kind of ask you my second last question.
Yeah.
Well, are you working on anything right now? Any projects? And it doesn't have to be strictly for the cinema.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm writing. I had a book that came out called about a guy who's a clapper. In Los, they pay people like $50 to go and watch terrible TV shows and clap and pretend they're good. So a little story about him. His name is Eddie. So that's what I'm writing now. Yeah, it's a very weird world.
That's really interesting.
Kind of like The King of Comedy is my favorite, one of my favorite movies. So.
I love that film.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's a film about those people.
No, it's a strange little world. That's very fun.
Yeah. I'm already looking forward to
okay.
it. I love films that are completely original about the subjects they deal with. It just like deal with something new entirely.
Yeah.
But
well, you know, great. Whatever you run into, you know.
Great stuff. And the final question is getting back to Man Down. Is there any plans of distribution you can talk about right now? Or?
I don't know. I mean, you know, this is our first day to play it today, so I'm really excited. And they all do that stuff, or I'd go totally crazy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I wish you all the best, and it was great talking with you, and thanks very much for joining
sure,
us.
Sure, man. Okay. Well, I'll see you soon.
Thanks all very right. much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.